I'd say good morning to my brothers and sisters. This is another study we have. This is Minister Timothy Robertson, and I thank God for you and tuning in with me today. We got another quick study we're going to do today. This one is called Studying Takes Work, No Shortcuts to Spiritual Growth and Maturity. There are no shortcuts, my brothers and sisters. We're going to go ahead and get going. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come. Study the word of truth. We pray as we study together that we are edified, built up in your holy word. Father, we thank you for the gospel that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, came and died. He was buried, Lord Jesus. He rose from the grave on the third day according to the scriptures. We thank you for the good news. We thank you in Jesus' name. We pray, amen. My brothers and sisters, studying takes work. That's going to be the title of this one. Studying takes work. No shortcuts to spiritual growth and maturity. Once again, good morning to my brothers and sisters. We thank God for another opportunity to come and do another quick study today. Today is May 26, 2020, and we're going to do this study. This study is titled, Studying Takes Works, No Shortcuts to Spiritual Growth and Maturity. My brothers and sisters, studying takes works. Let's go ahead and get going this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come and study. We pray as we study together that we are edified, built up in your holy word. And Lord Jesus, that when we come from this study, that we are encouraged, my brothers and sisters. We thank you, Lord, right now for the good news. That's the gospel of our salvation, that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. We thank you for the good news, the gospel, the grace of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to get going with this study. Study takes work. No shortcuts to spiritual growth and maturity. My brothers and sisters, there are so many Christians who are simply not mature in the Bible. Maybe they have grown in Scripture, but not much. Precious few are growing steadily. Some have not grown at all. When you believe in Jesus Christ by putting your faith in the finished work at Calvary's cross, the gospel of the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, comes and lives inside of you. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that you believe, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You are a new creature in Christ. Spiritual growth can only occur in a person who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as his and her Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Your old nature, which is dominated by sin, my brothers and sisters, we need to remember this right now, is crucified. You have to reckon it dead. We have a new nature that is under the influence of God, Spirit, Romans 6:6-7. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Bible study is very important, but 2 Timothy 2:15 is not just a command to study the Bible. Being a proved workman involves much more. Paul wanted Timothy to understand that to be a workman that God could approve, he would have to be diligent in his service to God. Don't be that person who wants the results of labor without sweating. Spiritual growth and maturity would not come if we do not study God's word right and divided. God does not accept shoddy work, my brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians 14:20, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. We all should aim at becoming mature in Christ, and we should help others grow spiritually to spiritual maturity also. Let's face it, working is difficult. There are seasons when we feel tired and defeated. Whether you find work too challenging or you struggle with laziness and worship rest and leisure, remember studying takes work. Consider Hebrews 5:11-14, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, saying, ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God. It says, For when for the time when ye ought to be teachers, let me say it again, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses to exercise discern both good and evil. A babe in the scriptures is someone who cannot teach the Bible to others, unable to function on their own spirituality. They have to first be taught Bible basics. Indeed, they cannot handle deeper Bible truths. They are unskillful in the word of righteousness. The contrast is a mature person, one of full age, an individual who has progressed from milk, liquid, to strong meat, solid food. That person described as by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Unlike the baby, the adult has the ability to judge what is good and what is evil. The adult has not only been instructed, but also has firsthand experience. As the writer of Hebrews lamented, the nation of Israel found themselves not as spiritual adults, but spiritual babies. They could not teach the Gentiles the word of God, for they, Israel, could not even understand the simple things of God. Maybe we learn from Israel's mistakes by earnestly applying himself in service. Timothy would not be ashamed as he stood before God in the day of judgment. From the very beginning, God created us to labor. He says in Genesis 1:28, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Works is not the product of sin, but a major facet of God's original plan for human life in this world, in his world. Few, if any, will match Paul's labor. His achievements were unsurpassed. Now and then he referred to his hard work and spiritual authority and fruitfulness, but every time he did that, he acknowledged his utter dependence on the grace of God. He wanted to glory in Christ himself, not in his own hard work. There is a word of hope here for those who battle laziness. Paul professed again and again that the key to his seemingly tireless labor was God at work in him. Philippians 2:12-13, if you want to read that. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And you can also read Colossians 1:29-1:2. I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. It was not in his own strength to do what he did. My brothers and sisters, Paul is saying it was not in his own strength to do what he did. Christ was strengthening him. 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And you can read Philippians 4:13. Go back and get your Bibles. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Paul talked about labor. Then he told us in Romans 16:25, now to him there is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which kept secret since the world began. Excuse me. And now, 2 Timothy 2:1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul put in work, my brothers and sisters. Paul would be quick to challenge today's hardest worker with the truth apart from God. Our best labor would prove futile in the end. And for those who know they need help, who have more regrets about laziness than overwork, he would remind them, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we should walk in them. Now, Ephesians 2:10 I just read. Now, God doesn't leave us to labor in our own strength. He has good works prepared ahead of time, and he doesn't demand a dead sprint, but invite us to walk in them. Now, my brothers and sisters, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we use God's word, God's way, there will be no contradictions and no confusion. The Bible will only make sense to you if you approach it the way God designed to be studied, that is, by rightly dividing the word of truth. And the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 2:15, the only verse in the Bible that tells you to study. The Bible also tells how to study. When we rightly divide the word of truth, we are recognizing the distinctions, the division that God has made in his word through various dispensational sets of relational instructions. God gave different instructions to various groups of people to be that diligent, approved workman. We have to correctly handle the word of truth. And the goal of being an approved workman should be the goal of all of God's children. Now, in this verse immediately before 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul stressed the importance of living faithfully before God, even to the point of suffering. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us, 2 Timothy 2:12. He then told Timothy of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they scribe not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers, 2 Timothy 2:14. The evangelist Timothy was to work diligently to be approved workman before God. The diligent application of all our energy to the service of God would allow us to join Timothy standing before God without shame. Nothing would help us more to please God than to handle, my brothers and sisters, carefully and correctly God's written word. We should look to the written word of God with the same reverence as the psalmist who wrote, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119:105. How do we show ourselves approved unto God? By being a workman that is not ashamed. A workman that is not ashamed will have a finished product of quality material and workmanship. The main tool that we have is the word of truth, the Bible. As we read the Bible, we ought to be able to see that there are two main distinctions, like I said, prophecy and mystery. And we should take knowledge of those distinctions in the Bible. My brothers and sisters, Ephesians 3:5, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, and is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Romans 16:25, now to him there is a power to establish you according to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which are kept secret since the world began. And then if you read in Acts 3:18, but those things which God had before has showed the mouth of all his holy prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. My brothers and sisters, we should always remember the distinctions when studying God's word, prophecy and mystery. Now, spiritual maturity, you will begin, when you start to begin to spiritually grow, there should be some indicators, my brothers and sisters, and that you have matured and that you are growing. You begin teaching others, and they will understand it. That is a sign that you have matured in the Word of God. Not only have you learned the doctrine, one major point of maturity, you can teach it to others, another major point of maturity. Once they learn the doctrine and teach others, they have matured too. Every time you read a particular verse or research a particular Bible theme, you can connect the dots just a little more in your mind. You believe them in your heart, and your soul is strengthened. Down in your inner man, you're strengthened. You notice truths in familiar verses you never noticed before. You begin to connect those truths with truths in familiar verses you never noticed before. My brothers and sisters, you begin to connect those truths with other verses you read elsewhere. The big picture begin to come together. You begin to network all sorts of verses. It's exciting when you begin to study and study God's way. It's exciting when you get that Holy Spirit takes that doctrine and it uses it. You will be able to explain subjects in more details. You can provide additional details in your study. Diligent study, hard work will lead to spiritual growth and maturity. Like I said, you have a better understanding of Jesus Christ crucified than you did when you first trusted him. You know that Jesus Christ saved you from hell, but now you understand that he saved you for a purpose. You have become a member of the church, the body of Christ, able to function in the heavenly places in the ages to come for his glory. You can explain and teach the gospel of the grace to others in a clear manner. You can share the good news with lost people that they may be saved unto eternal life. You can also share that good news with other Christians that they may understand why they were saved unto eternal life. As time passes, these experiences will cause you to better explain the gospel every time. Mysterious or primatic Bible verses have become clear, although not entirely clear yet. You can explain and teach those mysterious or primatic Bible verses to others. You at least begin to see how Israel verses and the body of Christ verses are different and must remain separate. Mysterious or primatic Bible verses are not quite easy to understand as you continue to mature and grow. You no longer have any difficulty with them. You might now find them enjoyable and eventually consider them familiar, friends. You can easily explain and teach those mysterious or primatic Bible verses to others in an understandable manner. Your prayer life and behavior will be drastically different. Rightly divided Bible verses applicable to various life situations will come to you on a daily basis. The more verses that come to mind, the more mature you have become. The more verses you apply by faith, the more mature you have become. You have stopped committing certain sins, giving up bad habits, for example. Please understand that you will never stop sinning in this life. Sinless is impossible. While we live in these bodies of fallen flesh, we will be sinless in heaven. Still, God's grace should change how we live, that we better reflect, my brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ. Actions you never thought of as sin will suddenly grab your attention. You have a greater awareness exactly what actions of yours are sin. Once living for self, you find yourself seeking the benefits of others, especially your brothers and sisters in Christ. You particularly will cease behaving in ways that make you a stumbling block to other Christians. Never, ever pursue your own selfish desires if it means destroying the edification of the fellow believer. You find yourself preaching to lost people no longer in hate or contentiousness, but because you know they are going to hell, and you love them too much not to warn them. You love them too much. You find yourself teaching other Christians no longer in hate or contentions, but because you know they are trapped in sin, Satan's snare, false doctrine, and you love them too much not to warn them. Finally, if the word of God grips your heart mightily enough and you yield to it by faith, becoming a church leader is not always a sign of maturity. I want you to understand that. Becoming a church leader is not always a sign of maturity. There are plenty of ministers who are just as ignorant of Scripture, in other words, haven't been taught, and who live just as sinful or worse than church members sitting in the pews. True spiritual maturity is when one becomes a believer who is able to lead others to spiritual maturity. Immature church leaders are incapable of this. They need to be taught before they can teach others. Sadly, workmen that needed not to be ashamed, right dividing the word of truth. If we do not right divide it, that is understand distinctions, like I say, between prophecy and mystery, then we will not understand which scriptures are for our learning and which are for our application, and we will be using the wrong materials. Even though we are mature in the scriptures, that does not mean we stop maturing. No one can ever say they have learned all there is to know in the Bible. In the physical life, a young adult can be considered mature adult, but yet his or her body will continually strengthen. His or her mind will continually grow. As Paul the Apostle himself acknowledged in Philippians 3:12-16, we should remember that there is always more room for learning. He says, not as though I had already attained, either we were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, if which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth for those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many of us as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk. He says, walk by the same rule. Let us remind the same thing. My brothers and sisters, if you want to see the drastic difference between immature Christians and mature Christians, read the two books of Corinthians and then read the two books of Thessalonians. The Corinthians were the most carnal, fleshly, worldly Christians in all of the Bible. Their lives were such a reproach to Jesus Christ. In stark contrast, the Thessalonians were the most spiritual, Holy Spirit-led Christians in all the Bible. They were faithful in the edification process, willing, studying Scripture and applying the grace doctrine by faith. Dear saints, where are you? A Corinthian or a Thessalonian? Only you can answer that. Take time to evaluate your Christian life. Understand the difference of your prophecy. Understand the difference of prophecy and mysteries. Understand what God was doing in the past, is doing today, and will do in ages to come. Without this understanding, we may be living our life scripture, but contrary to what God is doing, and our labor will be in vain. Walking in the Spirit is allowing Him to fill you. That's Ephesians 5:18, my brothers and sisters. And we should always remember, this is brought to us by consciously choosing by faith to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide you in your thought, word, and deed. That's what walking in the Spirit is, my brothers and sisters. You being filled. In other words, you controlled and you're guided by the Holy Spirit. And remember Romans 6:11-14, my brothers and sisters, that you reckon yourself, ye also yourself, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield you your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. Paul said, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Failure to rely on the Holy Spirit, guidance, will result in a believer not living up to the calling and the standing that salvation provides. Ephesians 4:1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech that you walk worthy of your vocation, where ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. Forbearing. This is for my brothers and sisters. I'm reading Ephesians 1. In those verses, Paul says, in those verses, he told us, Paul, an apostle, Jesus Christ, as our witness. And he told us, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where ye are called. Look at what Paul says. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace, my brothers and sisters. My brothers and sisters, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, and be a Berean and search the Scriptures daily to see if those things are so. My brothers and sisters, studying takes work. My brothers and sisters, studying takes time. My brothers and sisters, we have to be diligent in our studies. My brothers and sisters, if we want to grow and we want to mature in God's Word, it takes work. It's just not going to happen. You just open up your Bible and you're going to know what God is doing and what God is saying. It doesn't work that way. That's why Paul encouraged us to study, my brothers and sisters. I know we can put much time and effort into other things, but God wants us to study. That's His command for us to study. But guess what? He's not going to twist our arms to make us study. We have that choice. He hasn't given us free will. So you can choose to study or not to study. And guess what? There are consequences for both. You know, there's good consequences and great consequences for studying God's Word, God's way. And there are consequences for not studying God's Word. You're going to walk around functionally dead if you don't study God's Word. And that's what a lot of believers in the body of Christ are walking around functionally dead. Brother, sister, I thank you for this time. I pray that you are edified, and I pray that you are encouraged in the word of God. Thank you.